invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 to 12. It's printed for you in the bulletin. Just a reminder from what we've just heard, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it through the tax collector Matthew. As you're able, please stand. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Amen. There's an outline on page 6 of the bulletin for our study this morning. We have 4 lessons to learn. They're about the wise men, the visit of the wise men. We do not know who these men were. We don't. We are not told their names or their homes. We are only told they were wise men from the east. It dates back to the mid-second century in the early church. The tradition is that they came, believe it or not, from Arabia. And that has been along for a while. And that's the closest connection that we have. From where did they come? You know, what was the source of their information? Did they learn to expect the Christ from the 10 tribes that went into exile, the Babylonian exile? And maybe did they read the prophecies of Daniel? We don't know. We simply do not know. They just show up. And let's look at 4 things from this passage. First of all, we see with these non-Jewish people, these wise men, that there may be true servants, true children of God in places where we did not expect to find them. Who would have expected strangers from out of town to show up like this? Wise men? Imagine they were dressed differently, turbans and all. We do not know anything about their personal history. But on the other hand, we do not know anything about Melchizedek. He's mentioned repeatedly in the Bible. We don't know anything about Jethro, about Job, nothing about the background there. But for these men, I think it's safe to reason and go with Matthew's gospel that their names, these wise men, unnamed to us, nevertheless, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will be found when Christ returns to claim his own. They'll be among that number. You know, the point is that there are some traveling to heaven at this moment, of whom the church and the world know nothing. Just nothing. But Christ loves them. That's the main point. And they love Him. There may be true servants of God in places where we do not expect to find them. Notice with me, secondly, it is not always those who have the most religious privileges who give Christ the most honor. You would think the scribes and Pharisees would have been reading the Bible. You would think they would be aware of what was going on. You would think maybe the religious leaders in Jerusalem would have been among the first to go to Bethlehem on even the slightest rumor of the promised Messiah, that he had been born. I think that was safe to assume. Wouldn't they be interested? But such was not the case here. Rather, we have a few strangers from a distant land. They're the first. Of course, Luke does mention shepherds in Luke 2. Again, unnamed. But they were regarded as the hairy unwashed. No one wanted to be around them anyway. What could they possibly know? What a sad picture of human nature this is. How very often those who live closest to the means of grace, the Bible, its teaching, are those who neglect them most. Where are the scribes and Pharisees? They were the keepers of the few manuscripts of the Bible. They taught them. They read them. They guarded them. Where are they? Where are they in this scene? They don't show up. Familiarity with sacred things has an awful tendency to make people despise them or disregard them. Dear me, it is not always those who have the most religious privileges who give Christ the most honor. Notice with me, thirdly, there may be knowledge of Scripture in the head while there is no grace in the heart. We are told, and notice verse 4, we are told that King Herod sent to inquire of the chief priests and scribes where the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, was to be born. They knew. They could quote Micah, the minor prophet. Oh, yeah, in Bethlehem of Judea. Verses 5 and 6 are quoted there. It says so by the prophet. But you know what? Those men who knew their Bible so well never showed up. They never did. They never went to seek the promised Messiah. When he did come, grew up, began to preach, they would not believe what he said. These same men. They scoffed and they were jealous when he healed people or raised them from the dead. We must be careful. Oh, listen, please hear me. Congregation of the PCA, elders and deacons who've read that Westminster Confession of Faith and attended those classes and had a test, please hear me. We must be careful with self-satisfaction of correct information. It's a good thing, an exceptionally good thing, when it is rightly used. But a person may have much Bible knowledge and eternally perish. A little grace is better than many outstanding gifts. Because gifts alone save no one. No one. But grace leads to Christ. Not just once, but continually, over and over again throughout a lifetime. Grace does that. There may be knowledge of Scripture in the head, while there is no grace in the heart. Beware. Notice fourthly, we're shown a striking example of faith. The wise men believed. They believed in Christ when they had never seen Him. They believed in Him when scribes and Pharisees did not. They believed in Him when He was only a baby in His mother's arms. Notice verse 11. They worshiped Him as King before there were any miracles to see, any teaching for them to hear and be persuaded. In this setting, they saw no signs of deity or greatness to awe and inspire them. None of that is here. Yet. When they saw this infant, they believed they were seeing the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah. Notice the language. What did they do? Verse 11. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. What did they do? They fell down and they worshiped Him. An infant without any trappings of grandeur, without any visible promises that He'll grow up to be a great man one day. None of that is there. But they believe the Scriptures and the promises of a baby being born. And they had followed His star and found Him. And they fell down and worshiped. Amen. Well, again, there may be true servants of God in places where we do not expect to find them. If you've been on mission trips from this church or other places, it's amazing the Christians you find. I've mentioned before here, being sent from here, we found Christians hiding in their apartments to study their Bibles because Christianity was illegal. And you'd better not be caught with a public assembly. We've been there. Been in the jungles of Uganda. You can't get there. You have to take four-wheel drive and drive for hours hoping you will not mire up in mud that is beyond the axles. No electricity. God's people assemble there every Sunday in a bamboo-covered lean-to to worship the same one we're worshiping today. God's got His folks all over the place. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, please seal fast Your word to our hearts. Give us life. Life by the Holy Spirit, driven and directed by the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.